Tell you what, it's been a long time since we talked about a series sweep like that. Maybe the most impressive going back a long, long time for me. We bring in Clayton McCullough, Marlins manager right now. Skipper, first of all, congratulations. Clayton, it was fantastic.
Thanks a lot. It was an incredibly fun weekend.
I was thinking about last night, especially when I heard you're going to come on with us, and I really appreciate it. I know you got out of there late last night, and appreciate you finding some time for us this morning. I was thinking back to the six games you guys won against the Giants and Diamondbacks. You swept them. But I got to tell you, with everything being the Yankees, all the Yankee fans, but the way you guys really stood up to it, I thought this was even more impressive. What about for you?
Yeah, the sweep on the road on the West Coast was special and unique in its own way, and it had its own difficulties to manage. This series, the three games, you kind of look at them in isolation, they were all a little bit different. It required, we pitched well. We made plays defensively that we should. I think X's play was one of the most talked about over the weekend. You know, kind of his baseball IQ showing out. And then offensively, you know, you get this back and forth barrage on Friday with both teams scoring. And the next night it's, you know, Augustine with the two solo homers and we pitch and play great defense. And then yesterday, I think our bat quality was really outstanding. You get a lead. We gave Cabbie some runs. He could pitch downhill, and we were able to finish it off. So it had, a little bit of everything this weekend for the fans.
Well, I say, and this says a lot about you, and I've been saying this for a while now, the fundamentals, the way you guys play the game. I know that's been a knock on the team you played against last night. I guess you probably heard Jeter and A-Rod just blasting the Yankees for lack of fundamentals and playing the game the right way and all those things. Not to get into that, but your team, just doing all the right things, making pitches, throwing guys out, throwing the ball to the right place, making plays, the pitching. I mean, just all around. And, you know, I can sit here and brag about your starting pitching, but I never want to forget about how good your bullpen's been as well. You're just getting it from everybody. I do want to talk about two guys that have been really, really special, and that's two of the pitchers that pitch have just been so good. Throughout, Cabrera has been fantastic. Perez also giving you quality. I was so glad you didn't make a move. What was it like going back before we talk about those guys? Trade deadline. You got three or four names being mentioned in deals. What's that like for you as a manager of this team going through that last 24 hours?
We tried to make things feel as normal as possible, as you know, have a consistent day preparation-wise. We were just, at that point, you know, you're on a good run. You've won some series in a row. It was, you know, coming in and just trying to get ready to win a baseball game. And understanding that as much as you want to tune that noise out, it's there. I mean, this time of year, all around, all 30 clubhouses is what guys are talking about.
Right.
Their families are talking about. It's really hard to escape it. And as much as you want to be able to say, hey, be able to just focus on the game. I mean, it's, you know, when you're thinking about potentially maybe having to uproot my family, go to a different city, meet new teammates, the uncertainty of that, because much of what you hear, Joe, and read is like, there's not that much validity to it. Like, there's a lot that just gets put out there, but still it's out there, right?
Yes.
And their friends ask them, hey, you're getting traded to, I see you're going to go to Seattle. We had some individual conversations with guys that maybe their names were out there a little bit more. It was their first time going through it. Tries to just keep things other than that as focused on what we had to do that day as we could. And when we got through it and the dust settled on Thursday, I know coming in Friday, our guys were extremely excited to still have the majority of their, you know, teammates still with them. We were, you know, had a couple moves that were made. Welcome Sanchi back today. I'll be excited to give him a hug. I love that guy. But the guys were excited, I think, to continue to play together and still be here in Miami playing for the Marlins, which was exciting for all of us. And it was almost our own little bit of a jolt of energy, you know, that, you know, Cabbie was smiling and walking around. So I think, you know, guys wanted to be here and continue to be a part of this. But it was certainly stressful for a number of them as that was going down.
You know, I was really excited to hear about it. We listened to all the comments when Alcantara really made it clear after the trade deadline, this is where he wanted to be. I just thought it was so cool to hear a guy that potentially is on his way maybe to being what he was before. And also I can tell he loves being around some of the other young pitchers that are on this staff. But his comments kind of like made me feel good, like, hey, right back in it. The big guy's ready to go.
Yeah, he walked in with a big smile on his face on Friday, and nothing had to be said. You know, just a quick hug and, like, you know, still here. Because he gets it. So much of it is out of the players, most of them's control, what can go down. You think about Sandy, all he's done for this franchise to this point, and fortunate that he's still here to continue to add to his legacy as a Marlin. Your family's here. You start to have roots. He's much beloved in our clubhouse, this community. And I know for him, he's just ready now to be able to continue to put his, focus and energy on pitching well and helping us win games.
Your whole coaching staff has just been phenomenal. And I'm just going by results of these guys really coming into their own. Cabrera and Perez. They almost look like the same guy when they're out there pitching. I know it's different. I know everybody's got a little different stuff, but they throw it hard. They're getting their pitches over. It's just fun to watch the way. How do you explain? I know they're healthy. That's a big part of this, but both those guys having such great success right now.
I start with Cabby, and I remember being on the other side, and we'd face Cabby, and you'd go in, and no one really wanted to hit against Cabby. I mean, the stuff is nasty with the velocity he throws his two-seamer and his changeup. He's got the ability to spin the ball. It was more that hang in there, like, at some point you kind of let Cabby, lose control a little bit of his pitches, and you can get him out of there early. And so it was taking this, extremely talented, full arsenal of pitches, and just, Cabby committing to pounding the strike zone. And really he's done it. That's been the turnaround. He is just totally committed to throwing strikes, and he's lowered his walk rate, his career, from what his career rate was this year, down substantially. And this guy in the strike zone is just hard to square up consistently. He's going to give up some hits, but when he's not limiting free passes and he's getting ahead of hitters with a wide array of above average pitches, he's thrown his curveball more. So it's a young man that we called him at a great time where he's starting to realize a lot of the potential. At some point you need to turn that potential into performance. And this was like, his time to, take this next step in his career and, go do it and stop being the guy that is, what could have been, and go see if you can do it. And now when Cabby goes out there, we expect to get the performances like we've been getting. I mean, it's been 13, 14, 15 starts, it feels like, in a row where, he has gone out there and, filled up the strike zone, got deep into games, and has remained committed to, flooding the strike zone and being okay with giving up hits.
So going back to this Yankee thing, game two was, the comeback was phenomenal, down 6-0 and down 9-4, but we're kind of used to this with this team. But with the Yankees in town and more than 100,000 fans showing up to the three games, watching the way you guys came back was phenomenal. But for me, Ramirez hitting a couple of home runs to make the difference in that game on the team that traded him, that's got to be pretty cool. I don't know, and I'm not taking shots. It's just had to be pretty cool that he does it against his former team, huh?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it always means a little more. Guys would try to play it down when you do something special against your former team. You have a little bit. There's a little bit more, in those kind of revenge games. And I mean, you think the first night he's the hero on a ball that went 7 feet, and the next day, he hits two missiles out of there for our only runs. He's had a great year, and I know I know it felt good for him to perform well and come up big against his former organization.
So I got to ask you about the play that everybody's talking about, because it's been more the Yankees are just getting blasted up there, and the Marlins are just quietly sitting back here, right back in the wild card, back to 500 after being, I think, at one point 16 games below 500 to get back here with so many games left. You just got to be so juiced up. But I want to ask you about Chisholm's play at second base. I heard what he said. I thought you're going to let it drop. And I wanted to give myself a chance that if they bounce and it bounced up high, I was going to get. I'm guessing you don't ever. That's not what you're thinking. You stay close to that base, right? So that doesn't happen. Is that help me out a little bit?
I would imagine. Yeah, the double play, the way it ended up turning out, I think was probably worst possible outcome.
Right.
I mean, certainly they'd rather have Jazz at first. We'd rather have Goldschmidt at first. So there is the possibility that X could, let that ball drop, switch out the runners.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the off chance that you're trying to get into a spot that the ball kicks far enough away from X to move up. I think that's probably a risk defensively be willing to take, feeling like that the likelihood of that happening and someone running, 75 feet before
right.
you can get the ball and throw it to second. I totally understand. And Jazz is smart. I mean, he knew what was going on. You got to give Jazz credit for that. He knew what was going on. He was just doing his best to, kind of have his cake and eat it too. Be able to get
right.
back if it's caught. It's easy to get lost on the field by, a few feet, and that's kind of all it took. And X's ability to quickly just, survey the scene and make that decision in real time. And the quick exchange, it was, great play by X. I think that you getting doubled off is certainly not the outcome that you'd want there, even if you're thinking through the play play as Jazz was.
So I'm guessing now you get everybody together. And, hey, let's just be on the same page about how we're going to handle this. Is that something I'm guessing, right? Everybody will be talking about that play because it was talked about so much.
I think the beauty of our sport is, plays across baseball every night, like you can take something from.
Right.
So, yes, and like you want to be able to weaponize it for yourself potentially and use it advantageously, and then also conversely be able to ensure that we aren't potentially, setting ourselves up for, some possible downsides. So, yes, things we'll talk about, but I think there's a lot of plays that go on, and we bring those to light with the group. And the more we can just talk baseball, talk
yep.
situations with our group, like we love that, and we think it's a really important thing because at the end of the day, they have to be able to think on their feet out on the field, but it is our job to just help spur some of these conversations and bring awareness to the game and playing to the scoreboard.
Clayton, you ever think we get back to 55 and 55? I didn't think there was any chance at one point that you'd be back at this number, especially everybody talking before the year, like, hey, it's going to be a little growth in here. You guys are going to have to be patient. Give us some time. And here you are, man. It's incredible what you've been able to do last month and a half.
Well, thank you. I think we're so focused on – we needed to play better, like in a lot of areas. We felt like we had a talented group. And we needed to, especially on the pitching end, we felt like coming out of spring, we had talented arms that had really good stuff. And early on, we just didn't throw enough strikes. We walked too many people. We put ourselves in bad counts. And, it was part of just a lot of the learning curve. And they really tightened it up. We've been one of the better, if not the best, strike throwing group from a walk standpoint for now for a couple months. And then we've seen now how their performance has trended with, high talented individuals that are giving themselves a chance to have success by pounding the strike zone and in other areas as well. We just needed to play better. So I think so much of our attention was on, we need to keep our side clean. We need to tighten it up. We need to, we need to be better today than we were, continue to just move forward and just try to play better and compete every day. Like that was something that I'm proud of that hasn't really wavered from opening day until now is how we've just played through games and continued to fight no matter what. And, you're the beneficiary of that now when you're in these close games, it feels like almost every single day. And, you just keep the pressure on people all game long and you never quit. Getting back to 500, yeah, it's great. For me, we're looking at like what it's taken us to get here. I think we've earned this because we've played a very high quality brand of baseball now for almost 50 games. And, Okay, what do we do now? It's okay. 500. Everyone's telling us what a great job. And, we thought you'd be this and it's,
right.
We haven't worried about that, worry about that yeah. all year. This is not the time to do this. Like, we need to go out today. And, if you don't continue to play well, and we don't come with the same sense of urgency each day that we've had, we're gonna you know, put ourselves in a tough spot. Like, this league is too good. And so it's been a very enjoyable time with our group, watching them grow. And we know we have a lot of work left. And if we take our foot off the gas, you can be humbled very quickly in this right. league.
Clayton, on top of everything else, you're putting some new guys in there that are getting their first hits in the major leagues in these huge games, and they're coming through. It's got to be special for you to know and to trust those guys and put them out there to be a big part of this series as well.
Absolutely. We have. That's been the beauty of this year, and the amount of major league debuts, the amount of you know, individuals that took a really winding path and spent a long time in the minor leagues before they were able to get up here. Like, those are, it's cool to be a part of that. And, you know, like, how much that means to them and their families. Like, they're major league players. And recently, you know, Troy Johnston, you know, to have and log as many years in AAA as Troy has, and, you know, be knocking on the door, I'm sure on a number of occasions felt like this is my time and it doesn't happen, but to just stick with it. And now here's Troy in the big leagues helping make an impact for us. He's had, you know, already a couple hits, big hit yesterday. He can play first, can play both corners. Guys love Troy, a lot of energy. Jacob Marcy, you know, acquired last year, I believe in the Arise trade. You know, high, strong plate discipline, you know, can steal bases, adds another element of athleticism. Him and Troy both do to our group. And he's got off to a really great start his first three games from a bat quality standpoint. So we're the beneficiaries of a lot of great work from our group in player development, the scouting group, you know, whether that be amateur and pro. Like, it takes everyone for this thing to work. And, you know, we're going to need, and we know, to continue to get players to come up through our system. Yeah. And the ones that we acquire, we need to help get better. The ones that we draft, we need to help get better. And then, so when they do arrive here, like, we have to continue to push them to, you know, to get better. So exciting when, you know, you guys come up, especially this time of year, come up. It's an infusion of a different kind of energy, right? You know, guys are excited for them. You know, it's all about winning. And, you know, we've been the beneficiaries of some really talented young players coming up here.
Well, I tell you what a story to tell a young guy. Hey, come on up. We got Yankees and then the Astros in town here for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Let's go get them, man. Teams that think they got a chance to go all the way. Clayton, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on. What a friggin' great story. Just, man, I had a good feel about the way you guys are playing. I had no idea this was going to happen. So keep it going, and thank you so much.
Of course, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right. No, thank you for coming on. Clayton McCollum, Marlins manager, joining us here.